everyone out there in wedding planning land. Welcome back to week 3 of Your Wedding Your Way. I'm so excited that you guys came back to join me. And I hope that you've come to pick up a little more planning help on planning that wedding. For everyone who's new out there, I'm so glad you've joined us. And I hope that this will be a fun 10 minutes or so, and that maybe we can just bring a little more excitement into your wedding planning. Make it a little easier and a little more fun. I'm Leanne Webb, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm going to be your wedding guide for the next 10 minutes or so, and hopefully for many weeks to come. I hope you'll come back. Remember, if you have any comments for me, things that I can maybe do to make your wedding planning a little easier, or things that might be more helpful to you on the podcast, please feel free to contact me. If you want to send an email to me, you can send it to leanne.yourwedding@gmail.com. Now remember, Leanne is spelled L-E-E-A-N-N. So it's leanne.yourwedding@gmail.com. Or you could leave me a voicemail if you'd like to at 206-339-9339. That's 206-339-9339. Just let me know where you're listening from or when your wedding date is, or give me that question that I've not answered yet for you, or an idea that you might like me to cover in a podcast very soon because it's something that you really need to get some answers to. Now I have some really exciting news. I would say drum roll, please, but that doesn't quite work on this show. Well, maybe violin crescendo? I'm not sure. Well, here goes. We have our first sponsor for Your Wedding Your Way. I went with my husband Steve, the host of LifeSpring Podcast, to the Podcast Expo this weekend in Ontario. We had a lot of fun. I met a lot of new folks, and I met a lot of new people at Podshow. I had met some of them last year when Steve went, but this year I was kind of getting my feet wet as a podcaster, so it was fun to meet some new people. Well, when I got there, a couple of the people at Podshow told me that they had a sponsor that was considering sponsoring this podcast. Well, that was kind of exciting for me. Since I'd only done 2 podcasts, I was just really kind of floored that somebody would already want to sponsor me. And then before the weekend was over, it was a solid. It was a done deal. I had a sponsor. So Monday afternoon, I received the email with all the information, and then shortly thereafter, some samples arrived in the mail. So without further ado, let me announce that Splenda Flavor Blends for Coffee is our first sponsor. Now be sure that you go over to DestinationFlavor.com and check out the excitement of the new Splenda flavors. I really am excited to tell you that Steve, my husband, enjoyed the transformation that the Splenda flavors made to his coffee. And truthfully, that's saying a lot because Steve is a real traditionalist when it comes to coffee. He likes it black and no other way. And Steve was pleasantly surprised with the full body that these flavor blends gave to his coffee. And what was better was there was no awful aftertaste that happens with a lot of those other substitute sweeteners. Now, I love the fact that they're calorie-free, plus they add flavor. So I want you to go over and check out the website. It's destinationflavor.com. And then when you're done checking it out, maybe go to your grocery store and pick up a couple of the flavors and give them a try. Then when you've decided which one is your favorite, or if you can't choose a favorite, let me know how you loved all of them. And then give me a call and leave me a voicemail at 206-600-4554. There's French vanilla, mocha, hazelnut. Which one do you think will be your favorite flavor? Maybe you've already tried them and you already have a favorite. Or maybe you have a great recipe that you've tried them in already. Give me a call. Let me know. I'd be excited to hear from you. And then you might even tune into Your Wedding Your Way and find your voice and your voicemail being broadcast to all of our podcast listeners. So let me know. Now let's get to the topic for this week's podcast. We're going to discuss how to choose the church that you want your wedding to be held in. We're going to discuss some questions that you might want to ask of the people who are in charge of booking the church and reserving it for weddings. So let's begin with the very top questions that you might want to ask. Number one, is the date that you want your wedding to be held on available? And number two, what about the night for the rehearsal dinner? Do you have a specific night that you want it to be, or are you kind of flexible? Can you do your rehearsal 3 or 4 days before, or do you have to have it just 2 days before? Next thing you might want to ask, the next top question is, how many people can the church sit comfortably? Some people will tell you that we can sit 500 people in our church, but when you get in, that would be 500 people crammed together like sardines. Now that wouldn't make for a very comfortable time when your guests are sitting through the wedding. So you want it to be nice and easy and a place where they can have some room to move. Next thing I might want to think about is, how old is the church sanctuary? Is it something that's going to lend itself to a vintage mode, or would it be more modern? And will that work with the theme that you're going with for your wedding? Does it lend itself more to the romantic side of a wedding, or something that's more on the minimalist side? And only you know what you would prefer for your type of wedding. Some girls don't like all the lace and frill and fluff and frou-frou. Other girls can't do without it. So you have to choose what works as far as the building structure. You also might want to consider, what is the main building made of, inside and outside? Is the structure composed of brick, stucco, real wood up front? Is it light or dark? Is it paneling? Is it stone or rock? All these things might be things that really matter to you. You might want to consider what your pictures are going to look like when they're being taken inside the sanctuary, and the kind of lighting that there is. Are there stained glass windows in the front or on the sides? Does the light at the specific time that you're going to be having your wedding come through those stained glass windows, or is it going to be a nighttime wedding, so that wouldn't really matter? If it is an evening wedding and you have stained glass windows, are they lighted from behind or from inside so that they show up? Now, talking about lighting, what is the lighting in the church? Is it solar lighting? Is it incandescent? Can it be lowered at different parts of the sanctuary? Can the congregation area be on a dimmer switch while the platform is on full light? Are there spots that can be shown on the minister or the bride? Is there theater lighting for different colors if you choose to go with a different kind of ambiance? What is available to you when it comes to lighting inside the church that you're looking at? I would probably also want to ask about the central air cooling and heating. Now, you kind of laugh and you probably think, well, that's a silly question. Let me tell you, it's not so silly. I helped a girl with a wedding this summer, and when she called and asked about the central air cooling and heating in the church, she just said, do you have air in the church? Well, they responded with, yes, we have air. Well, when she got there at 115 degrees, she found out that their air was 2 oscillating fans on either side of the sanctuary, and that was all they had. So when you have 400 people packed into this church, and you have all of your bridal attendants up on the platform with the guys in their tuxedos and the girls in their long, gorgeous formals, it was just a little bit on the toasty side. So you really want to nail this down and be sure. Are you going to be freezing if it's a winter wedding? Or are you going to be able to crank up the air and keep yourself nice and cool during the wedding if you're having it during the summertime? So really check this out. It's very, very important. Another thing you might want to think about is the PA system. Now, if it's an older church, they might not have updated their PA system in a long time. And these are important because what if you have a special solo or someone who's singing that needs to use a CD for their music? Maybe you don't have a pianist that can play the song that you would like them to sing, and you plan on using a CD. Well, you need to be able to play that, so you need to make sure that that's available. Or are there enough microphones? What if you choose to have a string quartet on the platform during the wedding? Or what if you need a wireless microphone for your soloist? What about a lapel mic for the minister? What if you need a microphone over in the area where you're doing your communion? All of this might be important. You might have, when your mothers are entering from the aisle and they're going to be lighting the unity candle, possibly you want a poem to be spoken by them. Well, you need to make sure that you can have a microphone there for them to use. Now, while we're speaking of the PA system, what about a sound man? Does your church that you're going to use have a sound man that is going to be available to answer these questions? Or maybe he'll be available for running the sound. You need to find out how much experience he's had. You need to check and see, does he have any special credentialing? Did he go through special schooling to learn how to run this PA system? How long has he been doing it? And if he's going to be available for you on the day of the wedding and you choose to use him, what are his fees? It's possible that the church might require that you use their sound guy. And if that's so, are his fees already added into the amount that it costs you to rent the church? Or are his fees on top of that amount? Now, while we're talking about help that's offered from the church, what about wedding coordinators? Do they have a wedding coordinator that they require that you use? Then, if you do have a wedding coordinator at the church that you need to use, you need to ask, what services is she going to offer? Will she be available for questions from the day you sign the contract until the day you say goodbye and leave after the wedding? Is she going to be available for the rehearsal dinner? Will she be available when you decorate? Will she be there early before the wedding so you can get in as early as you need? What are her hours? Is she at the church most every day, or is she just coming just for your wedding? Then after you've decided when she's going to be there and what hours you're going to use her, you need to get it in writing from the church that she is going to be available on the night of the rehearsal. If the rehearsal is planned for 7 o'clock and you want to be in there at 8 o'clock in the morning to decorate and they say that's okay, have it on paper, have it in writing. You need to decide how long you're going to need to decorate. Some churches will allow you to get in the night before the rehearsal dinner and have it all decorated that evening so that you just have to show up in time for the rehearsal. Other churches might have something going at their church the night before, so you have to wait and decorate the day of the rehearsal. So you need to find out if you'll be able to get in there at 8 o'clock or at 3 o'clock, and then you know what time frame you have and how much help you're going to need to have with family and friends to make sure it all comes together quickly. There may even be the chance that you won't be able to decorate your wedding until the day before. There might be some functions that are happening at the church that restrict you, and so you're going to have to really get that planned out and, like I said, have it in writing so that you're sure, so that they can't say, oh, well, no, we didn't plan for that. You want to be able that you can say, okay, this is what my contract states, so I need to have somebody there at such and so a time to open the church and be there for us. You also need to ask your coordinator if there are any decorating restrictions. Be sure that you're not going to do something that's going to upset them or somehow make them feel uncomfortable about the way you're using their church sanctuary. Because you have to keep in mind that this is their sacred place and this is where they worship their God. Now, speaking about the rehearsal dinner. Sometimes I find that if people are having their wedding on a Friday evening, that they have the rehearsal on a Wednesday evening. This allows them time to get the church decorated before the rehearsal. Hopefully, you know, they'll be able to get it done before, but if not, it gives them a day between the rehearsal and the wedding to get things all set up. It also gives you that extra day to be able to go and make those last minute errands. Say you're going down the aisle with the rehearsal and you realize, I forgot to get the pillow for the ring bearer, or I forgot the candles for the lighting of the unity candle, or the goblet for the communion time. All these different little things that you realize, oh, I forgot this. So it gives you an extra day to run to the store and take a little bit of the stress and the pressure off. If your wedding's going to be on a Saturday or Sunday, it usually helps to do your rehearsal on a Thursday. That gives you the 2 extra days to just calm down and take it easy and not be so stressed on the wedding day. Plus, it also gives you that little Friday night before the wedding to maybe go out on a last date with your fiance and just reminisce about the years that you were dating and think about your future to come and just really anticipate your special day and your wedding. Now, when we're talking about the church structure itself, I wanted to mention that you might want to ask them, do they have a specific room that's a separate place for the bride to get ready? If so, is it large enough for the bride and her bridesmaids? How many people could fit into this room? Does it have plumbing available in the special room, or do you have to go to a bathroom? And if so, how close is the bathroom to the bride's room? And is it the same bathroom that your wedding guests are going to use? If that's the case, then you want to make sure you allow plenty of time to get all of your makeup done and all your personal primping done that needs to be done in the restroom facility before the guests start arriving, so that you can be hidden away and tucked out of sight so that no one sees you before the wedding. Next, how about the guys? Where are they going to get ready? Now, some girls choose to have themselves away from the groom just a few moments before the wedding, or an hour or so before the wedding, and then they come together and have a private moment, and then do their pictures before the wedding, as many as they can, and then after the wedding they do the family pictures and the post-wedding pictures of the bride and groom with the lit candles and all that kind of thing. But if you're going to be separate and you want to get the shock and the awe and the oohs and the ahs and the, oh, isn't she beautiful, from the man that you're going to marry, the man that you love, the man that has adored you, then you want to make sure that the room he's going to be getting ready in is way far away from where you're at, so you don't run the risk of bumping into each other. So those are things you might want to check out. Then you might want to also think about the church property. What does it look like? Do they have garden setting? Do they have arches or wrought iron fences? Are there decorative grates for picture opportunities? Do they have brickwork? Are there some wood features? Are there fountains? All these lend to a different ambiance for the different kinds of ideas that you can give to your photographer, so that he'll have different areas that he can go to. I know some larger churches have lush landscaped areas that you would have a myriad of choices as far as pictures go. But these are all things you might want to ask about and look into once you're kind of narrowing down what church you're going to use. Also, what about the minister? Is it required that you use the minister that they have on staff there? If so, will he be willing to adjust his ceremony? Would he be willing to change some of the wording to the usual wedding ceremony that he does to fit the needs of you and your future husband? If they require you to use the minister that's on staff at their church, you need to ask them, how much is it going to cost? And are his rates included in the rental rates? Or is it something that you have to pay him above and beyond the rate for renting their church? Now let's kind of just zoom in real quick to after the wedding. What about a banquet hall? Do they have facilities there at their church? If so, how large are the banquet facilities? Could they fit a large sit-down meal for however many guests you would be expecting? What about dancing? Do they allow dancing at their church? If you wanted to have dancing at your reception, that's an important thing to ask. Some places might already have a wooden floor built in that you could use for a dance hall. Other places you might need to ask them, is there room to bring in a rented dance floor, and would that be okay with them? What about the meal or the dessert bar or whatever it is you choose for your reception? Do they have caterers that they're used to using at that church? Someone that's familiar with their facilities? That might come in real handy, because if they have somebody that served meals at their church before and you are happy with the food that they have to offer or the services they have to offer, if they're familiar with it, then the flow and the ease of setting is going to go much nicer and it's going to be less stress on you because you're not going to have to be worried about will they know all the different little ins and outs that come in having to serve a meal. Well, so I've given you a lot of questions and a lot of things to think about. And if I were a bride right now, my head would probably be spinning. So I'm going to give you a week to calm down and think them over and give me a call if you have some other questions. Next week, we're going to look into some ideas about hotels or other establishments and some possible questions that you might have or ways to lead into finding those different sites. So please come back and join us, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. Now don't forget to go over to DestinationFlavor.com and check out all the excitement with the new Splenda coffee flavors. Next week, I'm going to share with you how I use the Splenda blends in my French toast recipe. It saved me a lot of steps and a lot of calories. Now that made me happy. And my kids loved it too. So be sure and leave me a voicemail at 206-600-4554 and tell me about your experience and the things you found that you enjoyed with the Splenda blends. Until we speak again, may this day and all to come be blessed with God's love. Bye!
This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.